The true gospel is a warning. I don't know whether I get my point. It's what? A warning. It's a warning. It's a warning. Like I said earlier, God had compassion on the people, so he sent them what? His messengers. He sent them word by his messengers. Oh boy, oh girl, stop this nonsense. That's why the people will come to Peter and say, what must we do to be saved? I think currently the main problem in Nigeria, you know, I've been saying it, is what? Pastors. Now we. I'd like to say we, so they do me like I'm pointing finger. Now all of us, amen? We don't tell the truth. We collect offering, we say, bring the offering, even if it's blood money, we will cleanse it with a bigger blood. You've not heard that before? I have heard it before. Then I was discussing with somebody recently, the person said, no, me too, I heard it before. So I found out that I'm not the only one that's heard it before. It's a common saying. You go to church and tell men, come and give an offering. As you are giving this offering, your sins have been forgiven. I've also heard that one before. I have heard it before. Actually, the same man who said, if they tell his blood money, don't worry, bring it. We will cleanse it with a bigger blood. Only. Now, only. It's only. The man is looking for money. That's why he will be saying things like that. And that is why the unbeliever will not repent. Why should he repent? I want to come to church and say, some of you are here today. You are involved in occultism, in corruption, in adultery. You mention those kind of things. I have come with the news of God for you today. You will all likewise perish. Next Sunday, church no go fool. At you say, you know go fool. But guys, will come, they go repent. No, I'm telling you the truth. No, really, that is what I am persuaded that's part of the problem. They say, don't drive the unbeliever. I say, well, I'm not driving him away. Who's driving him away? I'm just telling him the truth. If you're somebody who never washes his hands, all right, he's coming to your house, you pick something on the floor, eat it, and we say that, don't drive him away from the house. You have been a nice host. Don't tell him to wash his hand. Don't tell him that he may put germs in his mouth. No, you would still tell him the truth because that's true love. Are you getting my point? That is real love. The one that you don't tell people the truth is you're greedy. If he doesn't come to church now, you know, for your church, they count attendance as a sign of performance. You understand my point? And the amount of offering as a sign of, you know, good performance. So you just let them just become. Let them become so we can submit to headquarters. Attendance group. In case you're a senior pastor in the church and you're doing like that, that's the kind of thing you encourage. Like I said, what you reward, you encourage. Yes. What you reward, what do? You encourage. That's what, anything you reward, that's what you're encouraging. Anything you give a reward to, like you have a child, you start throwing tantrums. All my children know, they've learned that if you throw tantrums, you won't get anything. And they learn it very early in life. I don't even know how I knew it. If you throw tantrums, where are they? I flog you. So my children learn it very early. From the early age, one, you already know that tantrums beget flogging. Some parents say, let him stop, give him the chocolate. Tomorrow we'll throw bigger tantrum. And you embarrass him one day at the airport. So I learned that one very early. So if my child misbehaves, even if his request is valid, are you getting my point? Like he's really hungry and he throws a tantrum, he will get flogged first, then get the food later. So that he might attach tantrum throwing to flogging. And his soul will despise bad behavior. You get my point? You should not reward bad behavior. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about general overseers, regional directors of churches. Is that what they call them? Once you are scoring people's performance by attendance and offering, you are encouraging them to lie. They will encourage all kinds of things because performance is judged by attendance and offering. And then once you promote a liar, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That is, in the church now, they say your performance is based on offering and numbers. They now promote somebody that is performing well because he's returning good numbers and good offerings. What happens is this. If you now reward somebody with promotion based on that, you attend everybody after that, please follow in this path. And that one, you are leading the whole congregation into trouble. All right? So in case you're a senior pastor, I'm just warning you ahead of time, all right? When you start having branches, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, back to what I'm saying. That's why I say, okay, that is a problem in today's in Nigeria. That's my own persuasion. It's a major problem. There may be other problems, okay? I'm not saying there are no other problems. I do not expect PDP by themselves to gather one day, all right, and suddenly say, please, in PDP, no more stealing of public funds. Please, we don't want it anymore. APC. What's Bola Tinubu's title? Ashiwaju, please try and encourage your boys. No more round tripping of money. It will not happen. Do you hear what I say? Yes, that's not going to happen. They are not the light of the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who's the light of the world? We are the light of the world. The only chance of that ever happening is that when the men come to church, you do what one pastor that I heard of in one state in Nigeria did. A governor came to church, governor, sitting governor. He went and carried bags. What they call bags? Give me that bag. He kept one like this. He had like four. Two here, two here. The man, the way was looking at him like, what is man up to? So the man will be preaching. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. All of you who are still chasing women that are not your wives, drop it. He will just drop one bag. The man will drop one bag. He will preach. After some time, he will name another iniquity. He drop it. As he said in another bag before. After a while, the governor got angry. Of course, he knew what he was talking to. The governor came out with his commissioners and all of that. He finished them thoroughly. And they cut off him. Stay away from here. Afterwards, the elders of the church now called him and said, that thing he did was not good. So he now said, he has an apology to make. What's the apology? That he felt very bad about it, actually. That it was not hard enough. That I should have been harder than that. Honestly, the story I'm telling you, it's not a joke. After that, the governor's wife came and reported him that he was having a girlfriend. So, and he was supposed to be a member of their church. So the elders gathered together and excommunicated a sitting governor. I said, that's a good church. You know what I said? Excommunicated. That is, if you come here again, if we see your leg, that's physical. Spiritually, they release the problems of God on his head. I said, I wish we had more churches behaving like that. Not as if a joker comes to church and wants to do Thanksgiving. The bishop will relocate from that, and all of them will wear regalia to come and honor a man. Big bishops will now line up. They are doing Thanksgiving. You know, God has blessed me in this life with wisdom. There are things I will not get involved in. How will the man repent? Think about it. How will he repent? Is it possible? Who else will tell him the truth? That is the problem. That's why I'm so concerned. In Nigeria, PDP is not a problem. I love them. They are good people. I love them. No, they are nice, nice people. Amen. APC, they are my friends. So you see, they are just being themselves. Are you getting my point? Listen, let each person be himself. Let the PDP man be a PDP man. Let the APC man be the APC man. And let the church. That's all we are saying. That's all we are saying. I am not here to fight if you're in PDP. It's not my problem. There are politicians stealing money. Until my judgment comes upon you, God be with you meanwhile. Are you getting my point? Whatever it is, my primary problem is that when you enter into church, I will tell you the truth. Any day you come, no offering. That they say, brethren, God has so blessed us. I don't think we should take any offering for today. So that when next day I call me. And that church I was telling you about, they didn't care. If other people, they will be happy. Governor is coming. They will clear front seats. That one say, he's coming. Fine. Are you sure he's coming? They said, yeah, he's coming to do Thanksgiving, no problem. He planned for the man. The man vexed, well, come on, try and go. What are you going to do for us? We don't care. We are the people of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Our supplies come from God. We don't need connection with any man. Why do we need to be? We don't need it. So we tell you the truth. We need to tell you the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We have to. Take this message to everybody. That's why I'm happy you are here today to hear it. Go and tell your pastor, look, Pastor Bangi said that. We need to preach the truth. So every Sunday, there must be mountain of cursing and mountain of blessing. I mean it. You want the nation to prosper? Like I said, it is time to start specifically judging. You know, one of the problems why we don't like praying such prayers is that we have to purify ourselves. Are you getting my point? And that's the hard part for us. But I'm so happy God has taught us the truth. It's very easy. Once we have the right heart, we purify ourselves with the word of God, with confession. And then we can start doing it. No, it's very easy. If you're an Egyptian, it's very easy, you know, to suspend yourself from all those wahala in Egypt. Just run down to Goshen. Come and rent house. Is that not so? Yes. So how do you do it today? Wahala is about to burst on Egypt. Father God, I hide myself under the precious blood of Jesus. I repent of all my ways. Is that not so? But my message today, how do you pray for a nation? What I'm trying to explain today is just one principle. That it is not just blessings we ask for a nation. We have to ask divine judgment upon iniquity that is in the land. Let's read two more scriptures and we'll close. All right? First one is Psalm 45. The second one is from the book of Isaiah chapter 59. Psalm 45. He said, my heart overflows with a good thing. That's from verse 1. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Let me start, continue from verse 3. Guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, and your splendor and your majesty. He said, and your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. He said, let your right hand teach you awesome things. If you read another translation, let me explain that verse 4 properly. Let's take some other translations. I wanted to read, I think it's, I don't have it here. There's another translation I wanted to read, but it's not on my tab here, all right? But what it was saying there is that, it was saying, okay, let me just amplify it. He said, let your right hand guide you to tremendous things. What it was saying, I think it's good news. It was explaining that your right hand will do mighty things. Now, notice verse 5. Your arrows are sharp. These are the mighty things your right hand will do. Your arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under you. Your darts pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. He said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Let me go back to the translation I was using before. Let me just quickly reverse back to New American Standard I was reading. Verse 7. He said, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. Now, why I read this one is verses 3 and 5. He said, guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty. He said, ride prosperously, King James says. All right, in your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. When he's talking about God riding on victoriously, he wasn't talking about God being nice. He was saying to God, get up and defend truth. Get up and defend meekness. Get up and defend righteousness. One of the things you find, I said we're going to read two scriptures, right? Bear this one in mind. The prayer. Now, please let me say something here. If prayers are not to be said before something is done, then God wouldn't teach us how to say those prayers. They will be unnecessary. Are you getting my point? I don't know whether you understand what I said. That is, if God said to you, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send in laborers into the harvest field. If you don't pray that prayer, you will find out that evangelism will be slow. The progress of truth will be very slow. So here, when you find David teaching us here to pray, all right, he's saying that, guide your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. In your majesty, ride on victoriously and defend truth. Defend meekness. Defend righteousness. Let your right hand do terrible things. You understand? He said, your arrows are sharp. Let the people fall under you. I'm modifying it now. And let your arrows be in the heart of your enemies. Now, you see, these are the enemies of righteousness. These are the enemies of what? Truth. And these are the enemies of meekness. It is not right that you live in a society, and it's very common. I don't know how many of you heard the story, the crisis. Now, in case you do not know, now, I am not going to judge the matter. I don't have enough details to judge the matter. But I want to bring out a particular principle, which is how Christians are supposed to pray. And this is what he was saying here. They said there was a selection process. Our university also just did that, and Professor Ozumba is now the new vice chancellor. So they announced that a particular man, let's not mention names now, but you know what, this issue in that university, just across the road here. They said this man is number one. He came first in the selection process, and it was announced. So the council was supposed to give him his appointment letter. But they postponed it for a few hours, and for a few more hours, then to the next day, then the council chairman said he's going to Abuja. I got a call from Abuja. By the time he came back from, before he went to Abuja, or while he was in Abuja, two of the council members met this man. Now, I can say this because the man made the accusation in the newspapers. All right? So it's not as if I'm gisting things other people don't know. All right? This was in the papers. I read it in the papers. I have cause to believe the man was not lying. Okay? But it's public news, so nobody can hold me for being the one that said it. He said, two of the council members approached him and said, bring 60 million naira. Now, four of them, including the council chairman, will share the 60 million. Now, this is the point. If this really happened the way we are told, by the time you're telling the man to bring 60 million to occupy a post, you're telling him to steal 600 million because he's going to be in that post for the next 5 years. Let's make a long story short. He told them simply, what are you talking about? That's the allegation. My name has been announced as the winner of the process. What do you mean? That I should give you 60 million that I don't even have. He said, all right, that the other man has brought his own. But they can return it if he brings his own. Well, it sounds funny, but let's make a long story short. What actually happened, like, but this is what he told the whole world, and he wrote the petition. Next day they came, say, we are no longer selecting, we are electing. They quickly changed it, boom, he became number two, and the other man who was number two became number one, and they appointed the other man as the vice chancellor. In that university, which I did not mention the name, let us assume that really happened like that. That is how you pray prayers. It is not, Holy Ghost fire, Thomas out, die. That one is emotion, not vexation. You dey vex. It dey pain you. This is the one you should do. That's how they pray such prayers. Just pick Psalm 45. Whether I consent you directly or not, it's a national matter. It's a federal university. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's your matter and my own. You just simply say, well, I wasn't there. I don't know the details. But guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. And in your majesty, I've jumped to verse 4, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. It is important that in the nation, a man does not come back and say, I should have given them the money. I don't know what I heard. I said,
yes,
that's your prayer. You're not angry with who's VC, who's not VC, waiting concern. You God can promote the man that was not VC and make him president tomorrow. That's not the issue. But the issue is that in our country, it is crucial that a man doesn't return and say, I should have given them the money. So what do we do to ensure that people don't return and make those such statements? We pray a prayer. Say, Lord, ride on victoriously. Let your right hand do terrible things. He said, let your arrows be sharp. Lord, let the people fall under you. Oh my God. I think, suddenly I feel like pastoring a cathedral. Yeah, I'm not joking. But then they will sack me after 1 month. Because on Sunday, I not send anybody. I not go send you. I will just come. The reason why I'm nice like this now is because everybody who come here, they come to hear the word of God. I know if they swear for you because you came here because you don't want to swear before. It is the fear of swear that brought you up here. You get my point. Otherwise, oh, if I die in heaven. So to say I'll be bishop for a cathedral. I'm not going to look. Who, in fact, I go buy glasses. They're not going to say the glasses is very, you know, dark. I only lift it up to be able to read my Bible small. Okay, no. Good, I go get a tablet like this. Brighten the screen very well. All you wicked doers, listen to the word of the Lord this morning. The Lord's sword is upon his thigh and is riding in majesty and victoriously. He has come forth this week to defend the cause of truth and righteousness and meekness. Hear ye the word of the Lord. His arrows are sharp and they are about to enter into the heart of the enemies of the king. Who are the enemies of the king? The enemies of truth, the enemies of meekness, and the enemies of righteousness. This week, as you go out, choose which side you are on. Hey, God. I don't care your office. No, I can't see you. No, I'm wearing glasses. Take one. And let the people of God say amen. And anyone who does not say amen, the amen of those who said amen is effective in your life. Believe me, now you're going to say devil, they fear. They go call council meeting for your head. And that one is very good. When you come in for the council meeting, when they went to interview, you say, before we start, can we pray? The Lord is here in our midst today. The Lord of majesty is riding victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Anyone who will speak against truth today, the arrow of God. Bros, everybody go resign when it comes to say the one key person. Now you go kill in the fire. The Lord is good. We may be laughing, but I am not joking. Are you getting my point? It is crucial. That's the prayer point. It is crucial. And that is why Christians can, you know, when you want to swing into this gear of prayer, you will never be the one to give Bible. Ah, like you won't be one to take. And they want to bribe you, say, oh God, you know, say I will go to church on Sunday. You know, there are things you will say, God, you know, say, it's better to be a doorkeeper in your court so that when your arrow is flying out of the window, I'm a doorkeeper. You get my point? I'm inside that side. Let it be, the arrow be going out. I'm telling you, that's actually one of the major problems, because this thing, it demands a degree of truth and righteousness from you that many people are not willing to go for. I believe this is the word of God. Except we are going to get to that point where we pray like this. All our prayers asking for blessings are on suspension. They have walked. They are good. They have arranged things. They are ready to come down. But God said, where do I plant them? Oh, Jeremiah, when you have not yet plucked up, you have not yet uprooted things, you haven't broken them down, you haven't overthrown them, where do we build? Where do we plant? Let me end my message. One prayer point the church must have for a nation. The church must continuously pray and ask God for his judgment upon iniquity in the land. Let's read the other scripture so we can close. I just remember I didn't read it now. Isaiah 59. You know the word of God there. God is good. Everybody say God is good. You know, when Mrs. Israel was leading prayer just now, she's made a statement. I was so excited to hear it. She was talking about the fact that that the word of God is good, though, that there are things that some people, they are in confusion. To you, just common sense. Are you getting my point? That is just common sense. That things just come to you, you realize, look, this is common sense. But people don't know it because they are walking in ignorance. And she said, look, celebrate the fact that you know the word of God, that God has given you that light. And that is not a joke. You know, the more I preach these things, the more I realize that working with God is actually not hard. It's what you focus on that you have to make the choice concerning. Do you get my point? Yes. It's what you focus on that you have to make the choice concerning. Working with God is not hard in itself, because the word of God works in you to make you do the thing that's pleasing in his eyes. You don't have to struggle. All you need to do is pay attention to the word. It is not a hard way. No. Just pay attention. As the word is entering into you, that word is turning you to be a man, be a woman that's walking in a manner that is pleasing to God. That's what it does. God doesn't like who struggle. I must obey. God said, listen, disobedience is a sign of unbelief. Are you getting my point? You don't need to try to obey. You have to concentrate on the word. Give it attention because you believe it. Obedience becomes a sign that that word has entered. Many people are struggling to obey the truth of God. The word hasn't entered them. It becomes struggle. Pure struggle. Pure struggle. God says, just focus on this word. Don't worry about it. I will form everything in your life and through you form things outwardly on this earth. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I went on that tangent suddenly, so I guess that message was for somebody. Isaiah chapter 59. It's a long one. We'll read it next time. But let me just try and kind of summarize what... let me just get where we're going. Of course, we can't read everything. Now, God was describing what was going on in the land. If you start from verse 1, it was explaining the fact that the land's hand is not so short that it cannot give uninterrupted power supply, nor is ear so dull that it cannot make the education system work very well. Did you see how I read that? Said, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is ear so dull that it cannot hear. But the problem is that the people, verse 2, their iniquities, he said, has made a separation between them and their God. I'm changing the persons there now. Let me get back to what he was saying, really. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, here are the sins of the people. Your hands are filled with blood, defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, and your tongue utters wickedness. He said, no one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion, and they speak lies. They conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs, and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. I'm jumping as well as to save time. Verse 7 says, their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Then in verse 8 it says, they do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. Remember, this is the reason why it appears, all right? Like the Lord's hands was shortened that he could not save, and his ears dull so that he could not hear the prayers that people had prayed. He said, this is the problem. These are the things that have been going on in that land. All right? Now, because of time, I'm jumping. So verse 9 says, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. In verse 10, no, let me just jump to verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. And our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. What are our iniquities, verse 13? Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God. Verse 14, I'll slow down here. Justice is turned back, this is summary, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, he says, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. That is, even though he wins the post, he doesn't have 60 million naira. He becomes a victim. That's what he was saying. Now the Lord saw. That's where I was going. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his uprightness, his righteousness upheld him. Now he now put on weapons of war. That's verse 17. And he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the coastlands he will make recompense. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. Now let me just stop there, alright? The rest of it is a very positive one, but we don't have time to read it now from verse 20. Now what I want you to notice here is that when God saw all those things in the land, what was the response? He said, this is what's going to happen. The Lord will clothe himself with garments, with vengeance for clothing, and wrap himself with zeal as a mantle, And he will go out and begin to recompense people according to their deeds. And he will give wrath to his adversaries and recompense to his enemies. Now, what am I trying to explain here? This is the word of God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
What are we supposed to do as a church? We take the same words and declare them over the land. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to talk about. We take the same words. We have blessed the country enough. Well, maybe not enough, but we have blessed the country. But one of the things we have not done is to demand justice and the vengeance of God. And I'm saying to you again this evening that that is one prayer that people must pray for a nation. God will bless this nation if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But the blessing will not be planted properly except you pray one prayer that God should ride on prosperously, in majesty, victoriously for truth. He has to defend truth. He has to defend meekness. He has to defend righteousness. He has to. He has to. And it's a prayer. And listen, the answer to your prayer is terrible. That's the only way to describe it. The answer to that prayer is what? It's terrible. My only prayer I want to pray, first of all, is for the church of God. Because no matter what, judgment will start in his house. When God wants to defend truth, the truth that's most precious is his word. And he has to defend that one. Therefore, as you are praying this prayer, pray for mercy for the church of God. But God, you still has to defend truth. You can say to God, don't kill that man of God. Don't. Just scatter the church. Which one is better? The Lord, as he has been scattered, raise other churches where they can go. No, it sounds funny, but you have to pray that prayer. All this one that people will rise up, God didn't tell them anything. They come and say, God spoke to me that as you bring that special offering today, even if it's blood money, just be bringing it. And it will be cleansing you. Anyone who says it, once they say it, they have gone under divine judgment. And what your prayer will do is that God normally, that kind of thing, whether you be Christian or Muslim, you know, that beheading. But if you pray for judgment, God says, okay, I won't behead him. I will remove his car, remove his microphone, which is very important. This microphone is the first to go. You have to take the mic. Without the mic, he can't do damage. And I will scatter the church. I will scatter them everywhere. The magnificent building they have will become empty. Churches used to hire warehouses. They will turn his own to a warehouse. I'm happy you didn't say amen. It doesn't sound nice. It doesn't sound nice. But he has to do it. If he doesn't do that, see this prayer you have been praying. God has blessed the country, but the blessing is hanging. Why is it hanging? Where will I be planted? May God give you wisdom to understand what I have said today. You are not praying out of anger, no vex for anybody. One day, one man called me, said that they have come to meet him, some people, some good Christians. One is in police, one is in SSS. I guess one was in Nigeria Army. Maybe they had one in customs, one in the immigration. These last two, I'm not sure. The first one, that's what they told me. What are they doing? They are forming up a team to be arresting men who are lying in the name of the Lord. And he called me and said, so what do I think? You should join them. I looked at him. I didn't even know how to answer him. I said, man of God, God sent to go and preach the gospel, not to be arresting those who are telling lies. I think that's unnecessary zeal. I said, don't join them. You will get injured faster like that. And I was not reading the scriptures later. I found out the Bible says that, don't worry, don't harvest them yet. That is, you don't know how to separate them. It's at the end of the day that the angels of God, who are the real harvesters, know how to separate the wheat from the tares. I said, keep your hand off. I said, just keep your hand off. He laughed. Tell them you don't have time. How you will fight that fight is by preaching the truth, not by arresting those who are telling lies. They were so angry. But what I'm saying is that that's not your job. That's not our job. That's not our job. The only job we have is to pray. The job we have is to do what? To pray. And what I have done this evening is to show us how to say those prayers. When we pray, those two I gave you, Isaiah 59 and Psalm 45, both of them, that's what Christians do. We're not reacting out of emotion. You just take the word of God and lift that word up. And watch it, God begin to do things in the land. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, those things are not going to be nice. They are not going to be nice. There are going to be scandals. There are going to be troubles. There are going to be problems. Seriously. That's how the wrath of God comes. But without it, no blessing is coming. I hope you understood my point. Let's just quickly bow down our heads and just share the grace. I just thank God. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Just quickly there, just pray one prayer. Say, Lord, ride on victoriously. Just say, Lord, ride on victoriously. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, ride on victoriously with your sword on your thigh and ride for the cause of truth. Defend righteousness. Defend meekness in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, defend truth in your church and execute judgment against lies. Now say this, say, Lord, do it with mercy in the name of Jesus. Now, because of time, I can't explain that mercy, but I've already explained it earlier. You know, God may want to kill people. Say, Lord, please have mercy. Have mercy. Do other things. Scatter the place. You know, do stuff like that. That's what I mean when I say have mercy. So one more time, let us say in the name of Jesus, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and righteousness and meekness in the name of Jesus. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into light, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Channel, brethren. God bless you.